chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll start with verse 1. We don't come this morning leaping pulpits at a single bound. Even though we are here rejoicing because we're back. We want to seriously give a word of encouragement. The text for this morning is Christ is coming back. And we want to know, are you ready? Christ is coming back. And we want to know, are you ready? Right now, Christians all over the world need to be lifted up. Oppression and depression is on the rise. People are still killing others and themselves. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to preach deliverance to the captive, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. If you can identify, this is for you. God is making us aware of what is coming. Not only are these the last days when the wicked has come, but these are the last days where Christ is coming for his people also. Now look at verse 1 and 2. It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We know Jesus is coming. We just don't know when. Here are a few scriptures referring to the return of Jesus. Now listen to this. If the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. Huh? If you knew somebody was coming to rip you off, you'd be right there waiting. Some of you would have more artillery than others. But you would be there and would not have suffered your house to be broken up. Let's be real. If some of us knew, if most of us knew, if all of us knew, when Jesus was coming, we would wait until the last minute to get right. Huh? We said, what's the hurry? He ain't going to be here at 5:15, so I just wait to 5:10. We wait till the last minute. I mean, some of us do it now. In some of the things that we got to do, we wait till the last minute to go, not knowing how the traffic is, not knowing how things are, whether the light's going to stop you, but you wait to the last minute, and then if things don't go the way you want it, if parents leave the house and say, children, I want you to straighten your room up in the house, they're going to wait to the last minute to when daddy and mama get back before they even start the cleaning room up. Come on, somebody. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man coming. So we can't wait till the last minute because we don't know when he's coming. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. When Jesus comes back, he getting rid of everything. All is going away. Just like they were taken by surprise in the day of Noah, the world will be taken by surprise when Jesus comes. It ain't going to be hiding no place. And if you think of the suddenness that happened in the time of Noah, when it began to rain, it also said that earth broke up. It was instant. Total. And when Jesus comes back this next time, everything ain't going to be underwater. It's going to be burnt up. Oh, I don't want to be not ready. Revelations 3 and 3 says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. I think we get in scripture after scripture letting us know he's coming back and you ain't going to know when. So you got to be ready. We are being exhorted and warned that Christ is coming back. Oh, bless his name. Look at verse 3 back in 1 Thessalonians 5. For when they shall say peace and then sudden peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon thee, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But when they shall say peace and safety, by these words the apostle proves that the day of the Lord will come unexpected. Now, I think most women will agree with this. When that birth pain comes, when that contraction hits, it's without warning. Oh! Now, men, we can't identify, but we know when we get any kind of pain, it's without warning. We may say, oh. But the pain that a woman goes through, I cannot imagine what it feels like. And I'm going to say this to all men. Don't ever tell a woman in that moment, I feel your pain. Don't do it. And in the majority of the cases, as labor is accelerated, the closer the time comes that she is expected to deliver. If that be the case, as destruction and wickedness is accelerated, so is the coming of Christ. In fact, the days are shortened for the very elect. That's just how wicked man has become. Verse 4 says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You, brethren, you, those that are in Christ, brothers and sisters, you're not in darkness. There's no way that you should be overtaken because you are getting yourself ready. You know what's coming. It's not just prevalent here of the wickedness at all. It is not by surprise. You can see the signs in Russia, Korea, India, China. The whole world is off course. Verse 5 says, ye are the children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. We are not ignorant to what's going on. We are God's children, and we enjoy both his light and life. We have been given in him because in him we live and move and have our being. God has and keeps those who are enlightened by his knowledge. We walk in his light. We should not live in the pleasures of life because we can be taken into a dead sleep. Our eyes must be on the Lord so we won't be overtaken by the cares of this world. Do y'all know that's something? Therefore, verse 6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. First Peter says that be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. See, when you sleep, it means you live in stupidity and carnality. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Don't you know the things that you should not do is always done in the dark? Because you don't want nobody to see. If you don't want nobody to see, then you know it's wrong. Verse 7 says, for they that are asleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. Sleep for a Christian is to become inactive in Christ. These are the ones who say, my Lord delayeth his coming. They take no thought for what they do. They indulge in sin and more freely in the absence of the gospel. Can you see why it is important that we continue and we do not forsake ourselves from the assembly, that we may not be overtaken in the very things that try to take over us? Verse 8 says, but let us who are of the day, anybody of the day? Amen. Let us who are of the day be sober, be serious, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. The breastplate and helmet to a soldier's heart and head is protected. Now, I just want you to look. This is a soldier. He is well covered. His head, his eyes, his body, his feet, knees. I sure wouldn't want to be hit by something like that. He got a shield. In this case, it's not a sword, but it's a spear. It's still effective. Verse 8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love for and love, and for a helmet, the gospel, the hope of salvation. Again, that breastplate is protecting his head, or helmet is protecting his head. So is faith, love, and hope to us. We must guard our minds and heart from the enemy. We must. We are not only called to work, but also to fight. So we won't be what? Surprised. We must watch and pray. Not just pray. We must watch and pray. So we may be in condition to defend ourselves. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Looking here, here, and here, being well protected. The loin is the part of the side and back between the ribs and the pelvis. Having all these pieces together, we need to gird them close to the body for protection. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth of God that needs to be girded about us. Now, what I want you to understand as well, when you look at this man and how he is protected, it seems like it's very difficult to move, or he can barely see what's going on. But when you have the whole armor of God on, it is very transparently clean. You are well protected, and you can see where you're going and know what's coming. No man can enter in a spiritual warfare and expect to win without the truth. By the truth, we discover who our enemies are and how they're trying to attack us. With the truth, we know where our strength lies. We must gird ourselves with truth against all false religions. Amen. And the different winds of doctrine by which cunning men lie in wait to deceive us. Righteousness is living and having a holy life in the heart. The breastplate protects the heart that has this righteousness. You see, a police officer wears a vest to protect that part of his body. And we must wear the breastplate to protect our heart. Amen. Verse 15 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." The gospel of peace. Shod is a shoe that is durable. Your feet shod with truth. Something that is durable. Say, how many of y'all know you don't walk out into mud and rain with those footies on? Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They cover, but they ain't doing nothing. The doctrine of man covers, but it ain't doing nothing. You need your feet shod with truth. I mean, truth that'll go through the mud, the water, the rocks, the sharp stones. You need some truth in this world. How many know a lie is not durable? Tell it, and it'll fall apart. Hold on to it, and it'll fail you. But the truth will make you free. What is true, thy word is true. The word has made flesh, or was made flesh, full of grace and truth. Truth is durable. Verse 16 says, "Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." One writer says, "At every violent attack, take up faith for your shield, for with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." I need to get rid of all of them. But I can only do it with truth. Whatever he throws at you, you can handle it. It is by a shield the whole body is covered and protected. A shield can help protect the faith of what you believe from what comes against you. And then 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet was used to guard the head from a blow. A blow to the head could affect the salvation you have received. We must guard the hope of our salvation by putting on the helmet, which comes by the word, and the sword, which is the word of God. Now, if you haven't noticed by now, all is fulfilled and completed and comes by the word of God. Our righteousness, our faith, our peace of the gospel, all is fulfilled by the word of God. Now, back to Thessalonians, verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We were not sent to punish or be vindictive, but to show mercy and compassion. We are here to show the world who Jesus is. We are here to show the world who Jesus is. When Jesus came, he did not condemn us. In his ministry, listen to what he asked his disciples. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Do you know we are disciples? Disciples simply mean followers. And he's asking us the same question. Who are people out there saying I, the Son of Man, am? The answer the disciples gave Jesus then is the same as the answers that I've been given today. People are getting handed down who they say Jesus is. But as time goes on, as the winds blow, as the teachings go, there are different names or different things that people are saying who Jesus is. In fact, it's getting to the point where his name ain't even mentioned no more. Then Jesus asked them personally, I've heard who the world says I am, but who do you say that I am? And he's asking us the same question. Who do you say I am? Is our answer head knowledge or revelation knowledge? Are we listening to others or the doctrine of Christ? They were all there, all 12, but one was the devil. But on the same case, there was also one that was hearing from God. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How many are hearing what Peter heard? Let me tell you about me. I've read what it said. And in reading it, I was always declaring it. But at that time, all I had was head knowledge. It says right there, and I stood on that head knowledge. I stood on it because it was written. But lo and behold, one day, it looked like a light popped on. I'm talking about a bright light. Not a three-way. Not a 25, 60 watt. I'm talking about the biggest watt that could be lit. And I got the revelation knowledge who Jesus is. Oh, it just made the writing even better. And what we need to know for ourselves is a revelation knowledge of who Jesus is. Don't just take it because I said it.
Well, let God show it to you just like he showed to Peter. Thou art the Christ.
You see, we got to know who he is before you can put on the whole armor. Because otherwise you don't know what armor you're putting on. Jesus told Peter, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you. You didn't pick that up in the library. You didn't get that on Channel 7 Action News. It wasn't taught to you in school. And Jesus went on to tell Peter, upon this rock, upon this revelation, upon my Father showing you who I am, I will build my church. Now, here's another revelation in here. Jesus said, I will build who? Jesus is building his church. See, there's a whole lot of churches being built, but Jesus ain't building them. Here's another revelation. The church that he's building is not this building. We are the building, and we must be built in order for us to put on the whole armor. I don't need to have a shield that ain't faith. I don't need to have hope that ain't salvation. But Jesus is. While men are putting up brick and mortar, Jesus is building the real church. The building we are in is just brick and mortar. It'll perish. It'll fall. We've already noticed when we were restricted and not able to come to this building, the church who we are was still being built. How many of y'all know the choir is not the church? In the beginning was the Word, not the choir. How many of y'all have realized that the religions being established is not the church? And there are so many different religions being established today without Christ. We are the church. That is where he puts his knowledge. That is how he reveals who he is and what he will do by us, through us, for us, with us, and in us. If we are going to put on the whole armor, our bodies must be filled with the Word, beginning with knowing who he is. Back to verse 9 again. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is obtained by knowing who he is. We must tell others who Jesus is with compassion, so they may know and be delivered as we are delivered. I can't say it enough. Religion, traditions, prosperity, politics, philosophy, science, stupidity, and the pleasures of life are creeping in the church, replacing the doctrine and the teachings of God. It is worse now than it has ever been. When you learn who Jesus is, you learn he was here to do what you could not do. He was here to free you from killing yourself or from dying or from what is killing you. He came and took away the sting of death that you might have life. Do y'all hear me? By the word, he brought you the armor. He showed you how to put it on and how to use it effectively. Verse 10 and 11 says, who died for us. that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. If you don't get anything else out of this word today, place this in your treasure. Matthew 16, 13 through 19. Place this in your treasure. Again, verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? I repeat, Jesus asked his disciples, and he is asking you today. 14 says, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Again, their answer came from what others said. Don't get your truth from the streets. Amen. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter looked beyond what others said. If you will be honest with yourselves, you know what others is saying and how they are living, and it is not lining up. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Father is revealed to you today who his Son is. And I say unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you let God, he will fill you with revelation knowledge that will change your life completely. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. A key is an instrument from shutting or opening something. We are given the keys to open the revelation of the kingdom. Such as the key of doctrine and the key of discipline, or fulfill power and authority to preach the gospel. Because I know who Jesus is, Jesus said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will do. Amen. But in order for him to do what you ask, you got to know who he is. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.